Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of After Hours with Roto-World Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Agnano. Happy to be with you to discuss previewing the running back position for your fantasy football league, okay? Don't forget, guys, head over to rotoballer.com. Check it out there. Main page, premium package, expert chats. You know the deal. Sign up now, promotional code ACES, and save 10% off your sign-up fee, basically telling them I sent you season-long DFS formats, whatever it is you're looking for. Rotoballer.com has got you covered. As well as right here on the Roto-Baller YouTube channel. Great stuff. The quarterback previews are up for 2019. AFC running back situations are up in part one and part two. NFC running back part one. And this episode here, NFC running backs part two. As today we cover the NFC South and the NFC West and prepare you. We look at the depth charts at the running back position, give you their ADPs and my ranks on all of these running backs. Don't forget Roto-Baller Radio also on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Monday to Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., Sundays, 8 to 10, with myself and Scott Engel. So make sure you check all of that out. All right, let's start with the AFC South. Like I said, part one, NFC part one, we covered the North and the East of the NFC. So now we start today, NFC South, with the New Orleans Saints and Alvin Kamara and the alpha dog that he is. Currently going at 1.04, number four running back off the board after Zeke Elliott, McCaffrey, and Saquon Barkley. I agree with that. Kamara is my number four. Okay, 4.5 yards per carry last year. Dual threat. We know this in a PPR format. 883 rushing yards. 14 rushing touchdowns. That is stud category, although tough to replicate. 18 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, I'm sorry, four touchdowns through the air. 14 on the ground. 18 total. Complete stud category. Targeted over 100 times, 81 receptions, 709 yards. And he and Mike Thomas continue to be the focal point of that offense. The wide receiver twos, they didn't add anybody in the offseason. It's Tre'Quan Smith, okay, potentially as the RB2. Cam Meredith is there. Ted Ginn is there. They didn't add an alpha there. They did add Jared Cook at tight end, but Alvin Kamara will be the guy. Taking Mark Ingram's role as that supplementary running back will be Latavius Murray. An underappreciated running back. Going in the seventh round, 7.08, running back 34, 40th on my list, 4.1 yards a carry last year, 6 touchdowns on the ground, 578 yards, had 22 receptions. He does not – you can draft Lat Murray even if you don't have Alvin Kamara. He can be a standalone flex option RB3. He should see enough action like Mark Ingram did to be effective. Ideally, you're getting him with Kamara, but that means you're investing twice in that same backfield in the first seven rounds. You may not want to do that, okay? Eventually, if something happens to Kamara, though, Lat Murray elevates. Lat Murray has never been a star, though. He won't put up Alvin Kamara numbers, but he will be useful, okay, as an RB3, okay? Atlanta Falcons, Devonta Freeman, basically out most of the year. I think he played two or three games. He was a disappointment. Tevin Coleman filled in. He was a disappointment. Okay, Devonta Freeman's going third round, pick 17. Guys, I got to be honest, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Too injury prone, groin, knees, had all sorts of issues. And he's had Tevin Coleman there to share the load with. Well, now Tevin Coleman is gone, and I can't see them increasing Devonta Freeman's workload. He can't stay on the field. He can't take it. He's not a big enough player, okay? Devonta Freeman is somebody where he's going at running back 17. I have him at running back 24. I don't value him in the third round. He's not somebody high on my list, okay? He has to be able to stay on the field, and I just don't think he can. His track record says he can't. So now, who's the backup there? Is it Ito Smith, the second-year player, going in the round 10, running back 47. I am at running back 50. He got chances last year. He didn't do anything with it. 3.5 yards per carry is not exciting. 4 rushing touchdowns, 27 receptions. Now the question becomes, he is a player to watch. Scott Engel, my co-host on Sundays, loves Quadri Allison, the fifth round pick of the Steelers from Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Panthers, okay? Dan Marino's alma mater, okay? 6'2". 225. That is a workhorse running back in size. Okay. Nothing to joke about there. Not getting drafted. Can be a sleeper. If something happens to Devonta Freeman and everybody goes and invests in Ito Smith off the waiver wire, you go around the back and pick up Quadri Allison. Okay. He could very well emerge as the feature back in Atlanta. Keep an eye on that one. Carolina, Christian McCaffrey, all world running back. going at 1.03. He's number three. He's number three for me as well. 5 yards a carry, same as Saquon Barkley. 1,098 rushing yards, 107 receptions. You love him in a PPR format. 867 receiving yards, 6 receiving, 7 rushing touchdowns. If you say to me, Anthony, I love McCaffrey, I'm taking him first overall, and you're looking to argue with me over it, you're not going to get an argument from me. I can agree with it. I get it. I see it. Okay, right now I have Saquon 1. I have Zeke Elliott 2, McCaffrey 3, Alvin Kamara 4. But I'll be perfectly honest with you. If I'm sitting in that top 4, I honestly don't care. I'm happy with any one of them. They're 80-plus receptions. They're 1,000 rushing. They're 700 receiving. I am okay with any one of them. I'm not going to nitpick it. Probably number 1 is the hardest spot in the pick to be, okay, unless you absolutely love one of those 4 guys. If they're all 4 kind of equal for you, which is understandable, some maybe you want the 4th pick. Let the draft come to you. Pick who's left. Get a better pick than in round 2. Okay, but to me, McCaffrey is all world. The focal point of that Carolina offense, there's no doubt about that with Cam Newton. Receiving core lacks. DJ Moore has to take the next step. Greg Olsen is always hurt. Curtis Samuel is there. Not exciting. Devin Funchess is out of town. So McCaffrey, the focal point in Carolina. Cameron Artis Payne, the backups, not enticing, not worth drafting. Put a couple of fab dollars in if, God forbid, something happens to McCaffrey. Tampa Bay Bucks. Okay, Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones, the draft pick, first, second round pick last year, early draft pick. Okay, terrible. 1.9 yards per carry. Couldn't even get on the field. The guy had 9 carries all year. He has to do something this year, or he is officially a bust draft pick. People are investing in him. In the 8th round, 8.04 as running back 37. I have him at running back 39 just because I think Tampa Bay is going to give him every opportunity to take the job from Peyton Barber. Peyton Barber is a plotter. He is like Jordan Howard. He is 3.7 yards per carry of nothing sexy whatsoever. Doesn't catch the ball, only 20 receptions for 92 yards last year, 5 touchdowns total. He's going after Ronald Jones. He's going in at pick 11.10 as running back 50. I have him at running back 44. But this is a situation, as August rolls through, as preseason games start, if Peyton Barber is clearly the better back, or if he will climb and Ronald Jones will drop, or vice versa, okay, it's another situation where you're going to be sitting there going, why am I watching Tampa Bay Buccaneer preseason football? Well, you're going to be watching it because you want to see who's going to be that back, who emerges there. Right now, the money's on Jones. He was a heavy investment last year in the draft, okay? He's got to give him more than Peyton Barber. We know what Peyton Barber is. Less than 4 yards a carry, not something I can invest in. You want to take the flyer on Jones in the 8th round? Go for it. Barber's later than that. Neither one of them, though, has to exciting. Neither one is sexy. And Ronald Jones has a lot to prove. All right? NFC West. We start with the Rams and the big question of Todd Gurley. Probably the most talked about player since last season's playoffs to today in fantasy football is Todd Gurley in that arthritic knee. Now, if we look strictly at the numbers, if we look strictly at the offense, Todd Gurley would be arguably the first pick off the board. He averaged almost 27 fantasy points a game. He had over 1,200 rushing yards, 4.9 yards a carry. He had 580 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns on through the air, 17 touchdowns on the ground, 21 total touchdowns, 59 receptions. Just crazy, crazy numbers. And then it all changed. And then it all changed down the stretch. When that knee he had ACL surgery on in college, that knee that he's now developing some type of arthritis, slowed him down. There's no denying that. Now, Sean McVay is saying the knee is okay, that Todd Gurley will be fine. But you know what the truth is? We don't know that until we see him on the field and until we see him get 15 to 20 touches a game. And the fear is he's no longer going to be that 20-touch guy. Why? Because they go out and invested in Henderson, the rookie running back. Why are you investing in the 3rd round on a rookie running back if Todd Gurley doesn't need his load lightened? Okay, you have the young kid Brown there as well, who went for 4.9 yards per carry. Listen, C.J. Anderson proved. Okay, C.J. Anderson was as round could be, yet he proved he could run the ball last season behind this Rams offensive line. Okay, other running backs can fill in and do the job. Todd Gurley is currently going at 2.05 running back 11. I have him at 8 because even a down year, okay, Todd Gurley had 21 touchdowns. If he finishes with 13, it's still an excellent season. Now, you have to handcuff him with Henderson. Henderson, though, is going in the 6th round. An untested rookie running back is going at pick 6.08, running back 31. But that's the assumption that he's going to be the primary backup, the primary handcuff to Todd Gurley, because we still have Brown there as well, who averaged 4.9. I have him. I have Henderson at running back 38, and I have Brown at running back 57. Okay, and Brown is also being drafted in the 14th round at 14.03, running back 60. It tells you nobody's sure who's going to be that Todd Gurley handcuff, but everybody wants some piece of that Ram backfield. Okay, I took Brown in the Scott Fishbowl super late. If Gurley's knee acts up, if Henderson's not the backup, I just stepped in something with Brown, who averaged, like I said, 4.9 yards a carry last year. Okay, the Gurley, listen, there are going to be some people who are sitting right here to my on one side of me saying, I don't care. Gurley had 21 touchdowns. I'm drafting him. He's a stud. The Rams say he's fine. And then on this side, there's going to be people saying, I'm not touching him with that knee, with how he looked down the stretch. And I understand both points. Me, Todd Gurley's not going to end up on my team. It's too big a risk in the second round. There are healthier running backs available for me. That's where I'll go. I'll invest. Not, I won't invest in Henderson in round 6. Round 14, Brown will be on every one of my fantasy teams. All right? Seattle Seahawks, the combination of Chris Carson and Rashad Penny. Chris Carson was rock solid. The only problem with Chris Carson is he does get injured. Last season, over 1,100 rushing yards, 9 touchdowns on the ground, 20 receptions. Okay, average 4.7 yards per carry, over 14 fantasy points a game. He's going in the 5th round, running back 26. I have him at running back 25. And that is a stud RB2, if you ask me, at that point. You're getting a guy in that round, in round 5, to be your running back 2. You've now formulated a nice little team for yourself if he's your second running back in round 5. Because that means you've got a stud running back somewhere along the way in rounds 1 or 2. And then you have 3 top wide receivers, 3 top 30 wide receivers going for you there in the first three or four rounds. Okay, you could, in theory, go with that running back in round 1. Rounds 2, 3, 4, load up on your wide receivers. Chris Carson in round 5. I love the formation of that team. Okay. Now the question becomes, what is Rashad Penny's role? Because you're seeing him go just 2 rounds after Chris Carson at 7.02, running back 32. I agree with the ADP. He is my running back 32. And the ability to be an explosive monster rusher. You saw him come off the bench late last season and become effective. 4.9 yards per carry, over 400 rushing yards in a limited role. Okay, caught the ball 9 times in a limited role. He had 2 total touchdowns. Rashad Penny, here's the issue. If Chris Carson goes down and Rashad Penny has to start, Rashad Penny's going to be a must play. Rashad Penny could play so well, Chris Carson can't get his job back. That's what you have to be leery of. So now you have to decide, am I not only investing in Chris Carson, am I investing in the Seattle backfield? Because if you are, you're taking 2 players from the same team, from the same backfield in rounds 5 and 7. And at least then you put your head on your pillow at night and you go, okay, whoever emerges from Seattle, I've got it. And remember, Seattle ran the ball than any other team in the NFL last year. Okay, Russell Wilson threw it less than any other quarterback who had a primary starting role in the NFL last year. So it's not a bad investment to invest heavily in this Seattle backfield. Carson's got the job. Carson's got a little bit of a track record. But Rashad Penny has all the temptation, all the sexiness, all the excitement goes to Rashad Penny and what he could potentially do this season carrying the ball. San Francisco 49ers. This is a mess of a situation for me. Not for the 49ers. 49ers are in a great shape. Okay, you go 3 deep at the position. Okay, fantasy-wise, you hate it. It's amazing. You want depth on your fantasy team, but you want the guys you drafted not to have depth on their real roster because you want your guy to get 300 carries. Okay, it's not going to happen in San Francisco with anybody. They had Matt Breida fill in after Jerick McKinnon blew out his knee. Now McKinnon is back. Breida is still there, and they added Tevin Coleman. Now, Tevin Coleman was uninspiring last year after Devonta Freeman went down. 4.8 yards a carry, only 800 yards rushing, 4 rushing touchdowns, caught the ball 32 times for 276 yards, had 5 receiving touchdowns. He's going in round 6, 6.03 as running back 29. I have him as running back 31. Now, here's the thing. Coleman and Jerick McKinnon excelled as satellite backs. Okay. Now one of them has to become that feature back. Okay. Jerick McKinnon, out all year with the ACL, had success catching the ball out of the backfield with Minnesota. He's going, Coleman's going in round six. Jerick McKinnon is going at 10.08, running back 46. I have him at 43. And then there's Matt Breeder, who might be the best rushing running back, pure rusher of the bunch. 5.3 yards per carry, 814 yards, 5 total touchdowns, 261 yards receiving, almost 12 fantasy points a game. The problem with Breeder is he was a game-time decision just about every week. And just when he looked like he didn't play, you'd get a report. He looked good in warm-ups. He's going to go. And he would do just enough. Well, he's going in the 13th round at 13.10, running back 56. Okay? So you've got Coleman in round 6, Jerick McKinnon in round 10, Matt Breeder in round 13. I have him at Coleman at 31, McKinnon at 43, and Matt Breeder at 46. When you have three running backs within 20 picks of one another, stay away. Stay away. Excellent depth for the 49ers. You love it for their offense. You don't love it for your fantasy team. And finally, the Arizona Cardinals, David Johnson, okay, going at 1.06 as running back 5. I have him at running back 7, okay? Only 3.6 yards a carry last year. That offensive line was terrible. 940 rushing yards. He had 7 touchdowns on the ground, 3 through the air. Now, he did catch 50 passes. So his value in a PPR format was still rock solid. Finished with about 15 fantasy points per game. I like David Johnson in the first round. This Arizona offense is better. Kyler Murray makes it better. Year two of Christian Kirk makes it better. Andy Isabella and some of their draft picks makes it better. Okay. And offensive line should be better. So David Johnson, late in the first round, after the Kamaras. Okay. To me, my first round looks like this. It looks like Saquon, Zeke Elliott, McCaffrey, Kamara, however you want to do it. Then I see a DeAndre Hopkins in the mix there. I start looking at wide receivers at that point. Guys like Hopkins, Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill even now, if you want to throw him in the mix, some of those wide receivers. Le'Veon Bell is there. Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, they're in that same mix towards the end of round one for me. I'm okay with those guys there. Okay, Chase Edmonds is the primary backup, not getting drafted. Again, if you have David Johnson, you may want Chase Edmonds very late in the draft so you don't have to spend fab money. Use a waiver wire claim on him if something happens to him. He had 200 yards rushing, 3.5 yards a carry. But remember, David Johnson was only 3.6. Chase Edmonds was 3.5, more of a product of that offensive line. 20 catches as well on the season for Edmonds. Something happens to Johnson, people are going to pay a lot for Chase Edmonds. You could save yourself that money if you draft Johnson by drafting Chase Edmonds late. Okay, everybody? That concludes the running back preview. Check it all out right here on the Roto Baller YouTube channel. Two shows covering quarterbacks, two shows covering AFC running back situations, and now two shows covering the NFC running back situations. I'll be back in a few days. We'll start breaking down wide receivers team by team as well. I'm Anthony Aniano. Follow me on Twitter at @AanianoFantasy. And like we said, rotoballer.com. Use that promo code ACES. Save 10%. Have a good rest of your weekend, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day.